Anybody want to just stand up and brag on the Lord? It's Christmas time. God's been good to you. Brother Derek mentioned this morning about Thanksgiving meaning so much to him. It does me too. And I love this time of year. Love it. I love it. And I hope we have a great Christmas. And it snows about 12 inches one day in January and then melts the very next day and turns spring. How's that sound? Well, we can live with that, can't we? Amen. Go ahead, sister. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Doctors don't know everything, that's for sure. Well, I thank God for them, but they don't know everything. It's up to the Lord. And her daddy went home to be with the Lord. It's only been like since February, right? And he was their pastor. And that's so hard for them to overcome. And, you know, life will never be the same down here. But that's what the old song says, I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Anybody else, right quick? Stand up, pray on the Lord. Maybe you've never stood up and give a testimony in your life. Now's the chance, right now. Who is it? Not you. go ahead, Brother Ray. You just think who I have in mind. Amen.
All during this time, Thursday morning, my pain has subsided because I've had the help hurt. That amazes me.
Amen.
Making things easier on me.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, Brother Ray. Anybody else? Right quick. Now's your chance. Go ahead, sister. Yeah. Amen. And she was the pastor's wife and mother to these girls. Anybody else? Right quick. Amen, Brother John. Hallelujah. That's good. Somebody else? Amen. Where'd you come from, Brother John? He just popped in one day, started coming to church. Who invited you? Holy Ghost. Nobody did? How? How'd you know it was here? The sign? Amen. What about that? Isn't that a blessing? Somebody else, right quick. I'm not going to preach long. Somebody else, just stand up and say something right quick. All right, Acts chapter 2. I want to give you a thought here tonight, and this will help us here at pre-season, Christmas, pre-Christmas season here, and help us just a little bit tonight. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, look at this, they were all with one accord in one place. I'm not going to preach on the gift of speaking in tongues or even the falling of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to use that thought where he said they were all with one accord in one place. Man, what a miracle. We'd do that, Holy Ghost might fall on us. They were all with one accord in one place. It's hard to get everybody to come to church nowadays. And it's really hard to get them all in one mind and one accord. Might near impossible, as the old preachers used to say. And they were all together, and every one of them was thinking just alike. They wasn't. Some of them sitting over here saying, "Oh Lord, how long is this going to last?" And another over here saying, "How who does she think she is?" And another one saying here, saying, "Man, I can't wait till this is over." And another one saying, "I hope they vote me in." And another one saying, "I hope I get to sing." And I hope, you know, there's all saying, "Man, we want you, God. We want you, God." Like I was talking about this morning. And so I want to use that for a thought this evening and preach on the subject 100% willing. 100% willing. The dream of every pastor is to have a church that is 100% willing. Wow. Think about that. The old preacher said one time, he said, "My church is 100% willing." And a man said, "It is not." He said, "It is too, buddy. Over where I pastor, it's 100% willing." And they said, "How's that?" He said, 5% is willing to do the work and 95% is willing to let them. That's about all the 100% willing that you're going to get. Amen? Now, tonight, we need to be 100% willing. There would never be any problems. Classes would always have teachers if everybody was 100% willing. Nursery workers wouldn't be a problem if everybody was 100% willing. Bus workers would be just standing there ready to go if everybody was 100% willing. I mean, what if you had a business where everybody is 100% willing? What if you had a school where everybody was 100% willing? What if you had a family where everybody was 100% willing to make things work good? Wouldn't that be something? 100% willing. Buses would have drivers. Radio money would be taken care of every month if everybody was 100% willing. Never would we have to sit down in my office and listen to people argue and fuss and families fuss and kids be rebellious and people come and say, "Brother Danny, my teenagers run off," or "This has happened or that happened." Never would that happen if everybody was 100% willing. Let me just give you a few thoughts on this, and I promise you, it's not going to be long at all. So listen as I say this. First, we need a 100% converted membership. Only born-again believers make up the real body of Christ. And brother, everybody in the church needs to be saved and know it. Now, I am not one of these preachers that believes, I know some Baptist preachers that do believe this, and I don't agree with them. You got a lot of preachers running around trying to tell us that 3/4 of our congregation is lost. I used to hear them go, I'd go to church and the guy got up and they would give that parable, you know, where some fell among the seed and some fell among this and that and the other. And they'd say, "See there? 3/4 of everybody that claimed to be a Christian is lost." Now, it might be true that a big majority of people who say they're Christians are lost. That might be true. I mean, you were taking in Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, all these cults and everything else in the world. But I do not believe 75% of the people in a Bible believing King James, Holy Ghost, shouting, preaching, teaching church is lost. I don't believe. Please don't tell me that. Lord have mercy. If 75% of you are lost, we got major problems. Now, I don't believe. But on the other hand, I don't believe everybody necessarily belongs to church is saved either. I believe there's some slip through. I believe some people have a false experience. I believe some people maybe nail it down, as we call it. I believe there's others maybe that make a little profession at Bible school and grow up and never was saved. I believe that. I believe there are definitely people, members of church, that are not saved. I believe that. But so we need a 100% converted membership. I don't believe 75% of all our members are lost. If you believe that, I'm mad at you. Because in the early church, they had 5,000 and 75% of them wasn't lost. I tell you, brother, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says God added to the church. He don't add lost people. Amen? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Listen, brother, 100% converted membership. Ladies and gentlemen, they said this one old preacher got up one time. He said, "How many people you got active?" You know, that's a little Baptist term people use. It means backslid. I'm inactive. It means backslid, but it sort of sounds a little bit better. I'm inactive. I saw this guy up here in Nebo one day, and I said, "Where you go to church at?" He said, "Well, I go down here at so and so." I said, "Well, did you go Sunday?" He said, "No, didn't make it Sunday." I said, "Sunday before last?" "Nope, didn't make it then either, preacher." I said, "Well, when did you go to church last?" He said, "I guess you could say I'm inactive." Now, inactive is a nice little word that we've invented. It means the same thing as backslid. But it don't sound as bad. It's like calling a graveyard a memorial park. Something like that. You know, it just don't sound as bad, but it's still a graveyard where they put dead people. And brother, he was active. This one old guy, he said, my church is 100% active. He said, a half of them active for me, and half of them is active against me. That's the way it goes, amen. We need 100% converted membership, amen. And then I will say, secondly, we should have 100% attendance. We should have 100% attendance. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact. They have done studies, and it is a proven fact that people who go to church regular live longer lives than people who don't. Now, that takes in people, you know, out partying and overdosed on drugs and getting drunk and doing crazy things like that, and it naturally shortens their lifespan. So it's a fact that people who go to church regularly would naturally live a longer life. And so we should have 100% church attendance. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't care what you say. Don't care what you believe. Doesn't matter what somebody told you. God wants His people together. You can do more for God in a Bible-believing church, taking part in it, than you can do. One man told me, he said, I worship God on the riverbank. And I doubt that seriously. You can't teach Sunday school on the riverbank. You can't pray with a kid at the altar on the riverbank. You can't give your tithes at the riverbank. You can't sing in the choir on the riverbank. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to come to church. He wants you. He wants me. Amen. Bible said the Lord went into the synagogue as his custom was. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to come to church. That's right. The Lord wants you to be there. The Lord wants you to be on time. The Lord wants you to walk through that door. He wants you to bring the family in and sit down and worship Him. That's what He wants. 100% attendance. Amen. I seen people the other night putting up their Christmas decorations as I was on my way to church. And those people think, well, I'm serving the Lord. I'm putting up my Christmas decoration. No, you're not. I don't think the Lord's interested in your Christmas tree. Amen. I preached in a church last night, and they had a Christmas tree right here beside me, and it was beautiful. I don't think I've ever preached right. And that thing was going around and around and around while I was preaching. The whole time, they had it on one of them little things that goes around. And I was sitting there before I got up to preach, and I said, that is the prettiest Christmas tree. And I thought, I ought to put mine on one of them things. And then I thought, I can't do that. Because the way I decorate my tree, you can only see one side of it. If you rotate it, it don't look right on the other side. You know what I mean? That's a redneck way of doing it. I mean, I fix it so it looks good. I do my tinsel and do it around like this and back and forth like this. I don't go all the way around. There ain't nobody back there looking. But I sort of put all the ball right here, you know, and everything. And I got on the side of junk laid in the living room floor right now. But I decorate like that. So mine couldn't go around. I tell you, the way you really know you're a redneck is if you've been off Christmas shopping, you've been to town, and you come back and your Christmas tree is laying in the living room floor. That's one sign you're a redneck. And then the double sign is, when you put it up, you take a piece of fishing line and tie it to the tree and put it in the wind and close it on it or something like that. Have you ever done that? We'll see. Don't tell me I'm the only person in here that's ever... Okay, thank you. One, two, three. That's where you know you're really a redneck. You tie them up with a fishing line. But, I mean, people can't see it. It don't matter. You get one that keeps falling. You put the stupid thing up there and it's leaning like this. I used to put them on and put encyclopedias under them and make them stand up straight and it was like this. It was like but anyway, I tell you what, you're not serving the Lord by decorating your tree. That ain't serving the Lord. The Lord wants you to honor Him, to pray, to go to church, to sing it down just high, brother, and serve God. Amen. 100% attendance. But then I want to say also, it said that both parents, listen to this, if both parents attend church regularly, if both parents attend church regularly, 72% of the kids go regular when they grow up. If only the dad goes, 55%. If daddy don't go, 55%. If mama don't go, 15%. If a mama don't go to church, her kids go to church 15% of the time when they grow up. So if I want my kids to be here, I got to be here. If you want your kids to be 50, you got to be 75. You can't. People say, "Well, I'll just set a good this example for my kids. If you set this example, they're gonna come out over here. There's 0, 1 to 10. If you're right here, your kids gonna be here, and their kids gonna be here, and their kids gonna be here. If you want your kids to be here, you got to be over here somewhere. You got to be at 70 to make your kids wind up 50." You got to go 75% of the time and make your kids go 50%. Because every generation naturally pulls back away from God just a little bit. So we need 100% attendance. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. 100% attendance. Hallelujah. That's right, brother. I want to say number three tonight. We need 100% cooperation. 100% cooperation. Now I'll say just a thing or two about that right quick. And somebody said this. Some stay at home because it's cold. Some stay at home because it's hot. Some because they're getting old. And some because they're not. Alas, alas, our excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and to turn us from the house of prayer where our place, where our fathers trod. Ladies and gentlemen, God's been so good to us. He's blessed us so much. He's put food on our table, shoes on our feet, money in your pocket, food in your refrigerator at home. The least we can do is honor Him and serve Him and do right and by His church. Ain't that right? 100% willing. Amen. They come out, somebody diagnosed this disease not long ago called Morbus Sabbaticus. It's awful. It's better known as Sunday sickness. It's a disease that only strikes church members. The symptoms are awful, but they usually observe like this. Number one, it never lasts more than 24 hours. You can be nearly dead Sunday morning and Sunday night, but somehow by Monday morning a miracle happens and they can jump up and put their clothes on and go to work. Somehow it's gone. It's a 24-hour disease. Not only that, it never interferes with the appetite. Oh, you can eat 2 or 3 meals with this disease. Eat all day and watch football games while you're suffering like that. It never affects the eyes. Sunday newspaper, TV seems to help just a little bit. And not only that, no physician is ever called. Never go to the doctor. Somehow or another you think, I just better lay in the bed. I mean, you know, mama gets up one Sunday morning and she said, I'm feeling a little bad. I just don't think I'll make it this morning, honey. You go on. And he said, "No, darling, I'll not leave you in this shape. I love you so much. I'll stay here and take care of you, baby. Oh, do you need some noodle soup? Can I help you? I mean, can I get you some orange juice?" Or say, that preacher better not say a word. Are you suffering like this? And but boy, Monday morning rolls around. And she says, "I'm feeling good, bad, go to work. We got bills to pay. Ain't nothing wrong with you." She says, "Who's going to keep the baby? Call your mama. Make her babysit for her. Somehow or another, we'll come jump us off. We'll make arrangements. We'll do whatever we got to do. Get her out of bed and get her to work." Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, it's a disease. It's awful. And after a few attacks at weekly intervals, it may become chronic, even terminal. It lasts forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Once you've got it, boy, I'm telling you, you never get rid of it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's awful disease now. Amen. That's right. I want to say thirdly tonight, we need 100% cooperation. We need 100% cooperation. Now, look at me. If everybody in here would cooperate, if I didn't have to worry about you getting your feelings hurt, you ever wondered how hard it is for a pastor? You can't move without somebody getting your feelings hurt. If I preach hard, somebody don't like it. If I don't preach hard, somebody don't like it. If you preach long, somebody... If you preach soft, if you scream and holler, I don't like that. But if you're soft, looks like he'd get fired up a little bit. I mean, preacher, if you dress nice, it's vain. If you don't, I'm ashamed of our pastor. I mean, you know how it is. It's impossible to please everybody. It cannot be done. And it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful if everybody would just say, hey... Preacher, I'm here. I'm willing to serve. I want to serve my church. I want to. You put me where you need me. I heard about a lady one time who got mad and said she was going to quit church because she didn't get to teach the Sunday school class that she wanted to teach. She said, if I don't get to teach that class, I'll quit church and I'll go somewhere else. If they don't vote me in as that teacher, I'll quit. Now, you know what she proved? She proved that she had no business teaching Sunday school. Somebody that's that immature and that backslid has no business teaching Sunday school. She needed to be in the nursery with a big pacifier about that big around. That's what she needed to be doing. She's a big baby. B-A-B-Y. And the Bible talks about, I'm talking about people been saved 30 years. I'm talking about people been saved that ought to be more mature. We get our feelings hurt. We don't like this. We don't like that. We don't like this. We don't like that. I had a man tell me the other day, one day this week, he said, Brother Danny, I need to talk to you. And I said, what's that? He said, I got my feelings hurt at your church. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I sure didn't do it on purpose. And he said, but now, been out so many years. He said, but now I'm over it, and I want you to forgive me. I said, I don't have no problem forgiving you. Don't worry about it. Let it go. And he said, the best time they ever had was at your church. He said, the best time they ever enjoyed here was at your church. And I said, well, man, I'm sorry. But listen, y'all, you do realize that it's impossible. I'm going to have 350 people here this morning. It is impossible for everybody to have your way all the time. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
It can't happen. I don't get my way. You don't get your way. We try our best to do what God wants us to do and just let the chips fall where they will. And you've got to be mature enough to see the big picture and say, well, I didn't like this and I don't agree with that, but our church is going the right way. We're getting bus kids saved. We have the largest bus ministry anywhere in these three counties. Our bus ministry, I'm not trying to brag, but our bus ministry is reaching more people and getting them in church than any ministry in Burke, Catawba, or Caldwell, either one. I don't know any ministry that's getting more people to church than Shattered Life Baptist Church Bus Ministry. Thank God for that. Everything don't go our way always, but look at the big picture. Look at what God's doing. Look at the souls that we're saved. 100% cooperation. God told me one time in Marion, we had this man come. Eddie White. Y'all know Eddie White. Well, Eddie come once. I let Eddie preach a chapel service one day. And he said something about... it was about Benny Hinn. He said something about Benny Hinn. And said something critical about Benny Hinn. Made a joke, something like that. And they had a guy jerk his two kids. This girl out of school. He said, I ain't letting... He got mad. And I went to see him at work. And I said, man, what is wrong? He said, I'm not letting my kids go to a school where the teachers are preach criticize people. And I said, you going to put them in one and teach them to come from a monkey? Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like that. You going to put them in one where they teach them to come from a monkey? You think I'd put my kid in a school that taught them to come from a monkey? No way. You do it, it's your business. I think you're paying somebody to teach them a lie. You say they don't need to know it. That ain't what the Bible said. Bible said train up a child what? In the way they should go. Stuff like that, what gets me in trouble. But I'm telling you, the truth will stand blessed when this world's on fire. Say amen. That's right. And listen, I'm going to tell you tonight, brother. Listen, that we need 100% cooperation. Somebody said this, how to split your church. Here's how to split your church. His friend of mine, his church has split twice in the last couple of years. And here's how to do it. Here's how to do it. And I'm going to give you these couple things and I'm going to be done. Number one, you want to split your church? focus only on your desires. You're the most important thing here. Your feelings, what you want, is more important than anything or anybody in this building. My feelings. That's the way to tear your church all to pieces. I've tried all these years, and anybody that knows me can vouch for this. I try to put our church's needs above my own desires in most everything I do, and I try to practice that. When I do something, I say, I got to think about the church first. Not what I want, not how I feel. How about the church? How we're going to do about the church? The church is more important than my feelings. Amen? Make personal references and group convictions on trivial matters as important as biblical absolutes. In other words, fuss about your convictions that ain't in the Bible and try to cram them down everybody else's throat and then judge everybody else if they don't go by every little thing you believe in. That's the way to split your church. Like matters of dress and things like that. The Bible talks about dress. The Bible talks about women should dress decent and modest. The Bible tells us all of that kind of stuff. But some people get little quirks and little quips and they say, if you don't do exactly like I say, you ain't right with God. That's a good way to cause trouble in a church. Say amen. I used to have people, and we still got none, that they feel like it's their job to straighten all the other church members out. And they're going to go preach. Now, you ladies, you listen to me for a minute. God never called none of you ladies to go straighten the other ladies out. That's not your calling. I'm like Debbie Dog. I'll do the preaching around here. And don't you forget. Remember old Debbie Dog? That's what I'm around here. Listen, I'll do the preaching. That's what the pulpit's for. I see somebody, unless it's one of my girls, I don't go up and say, hey, your dress is too short. Now I'll do it to them. Because they don't know better. But I ain't going to do it to your kids. Lord, it's quiet in here tonight. That's for the pulpit. That's for that. God did. One lady told me, she said, well, I'll just go. You just better watch it, sister. Devil's getting in you. Number two. Listen to every criticism that you hear. Listen to it. Every time somebody criticizes somebody, that's where that stupid nose book causes more. I have heard more trouble in churches because people getting on nose book talking about each other. Just heard another one this week. There's not in our church. Somebody said something. Saw another preacher's wife gone and spread it all over the country. And everybody I know, the only reason they use hers is for the Lord. That's what you all say. That's what you all say. But you listen to gossip. You spread gossip. You hear gossip. Listen, you want to cause trouble in the church? Listen to every criticism that you hear. Gossip and rumors can really be effective if you want to tear it up. Number three, focus on your pastor's weaknesses, not his strengths. I'm just reading this out of this book. Target his imperfections and shortcomings for constant criticism to undermine morale. In other words, when your pastor, me, has a weakness, I do, plenty of them, because you talk about his weakness, his weakness, his weakness, his weakness, you undermine morale in the church. If we look at each other's strengths, I mean our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, the preacher, and say, that's his strong point. You know, old Brother Danny ain't much, but buddy, he shelled the corn. Old Brother Danny ain't perfect, but I'll tell you one thing, he'll preach you the book. That's what we need. If you want to cause trouble in your church, do it with everybody. Just focus on their faults and not their good points, and you can tear it up real easy. Number four. Speak the truth or practice love, but never combine the two. Speak the truth or practice love, but never combine the two. I mean, somebody said, saw a dirty boy, and they said, shoo, that dirty boy. And a man said, well, I love the boy, and I hate that dirt. And another one said, I hate that dirty boy. And another one said, well, I hate the dirt but love the boy. And that's the only way you're going to help somebody is hate the dirt but love the boy. You can't hate the boy just because he's dirty. That's the way with the kids. You can't hate them. When we talk about sinners out there in the world, homosexuals. If you're not careful, you'll start hating the person. You're not supposed to hate nobody. We don't hate nobody. Matter of fact, we ain't no better than nobody. Amen? Amen? I'm in telling you tonight, brother, you've got to watch that attitude. Number six, forgive only those who ask you and only if they deserve it. That's a way to tie your church up. Forgive only those who ask you. Do you forgive them? No, they didn't ask me to. And only if they deserve it. They never deserve it. Placing conditions on your forgiveness is a sure way to kill love between church people. Number seven, hide your own sins behind harsh attitudes. Denounce others for sins you secretly struggle with and fight in your own life. I said, denounce others harshly for the same sin you struggle with in your own personal life. You better watch being hard on people. Say, bless God, that when you're struggling with that very same sin that you're judging them for. The truth is tonight, when I stand up here and preach, a man ought to preach against sin. But the truth is, we're all just a bunch of sinners trying to find help from God. Amen? Well, I had another one here. Use prayer to unite malcontents and spread inappropriate information. That means act like you got a prayer request when you're really using it to gossip. Listen, I need you to help me pray about something. And you don't care a bit more about praying man moon. You just can't wait to tell what you just read on Nosebook or what you heard. I don't mean to be gossiping, but gossip. That's the way you know somebody getting ready to dump it on you when they say that. The way you know you're getting ready to get your ears full of trash is they say, I don't want to be talking about nobody. When you hear that, get your trash cans out, buddy, because they're getting ready to dump it on you. I don't want to gossip. Well, shut up then. I don't want to gossip, but some people, here's old Jeremy coming in holding hands with his wife. Hypocrite. When you're really jealous of how, look at that, her arms around him. Don't that just make you sick? People ain't supposed to love each other. We'll be miserable like the rest of us. Amen? That's the way church members are. I didn't get off on all that. Do whatever you have to do. Listen to this. Here's a way to cause trouble in your church. Do whatever you have to do to win. Oh, yeah. You make sure you're right. Bless God, you're going to win. I mean, there ain't no way you could be. Listen. Nobody except Jesus is right all the time. Not me, not you. No, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you should never get up and admit if you're wrong. But I don't believe that. I think a preacher gets up and never admits he's wrong about anything. People know you are anyway. They think you deceived yourself, buddy. Amen? All right, I'm about done. And you tell yourself and others that you're on a mission from God. It's your job to make sure nobody gets away with nothing. That's your job. You know how come these talk shows are popular? Because there's something in human nature, it drives us crazy when we think somebody's getting away with something. Now you check me on this. Check me. We can't stand it. You know why we hate? We think they're getting away. Old Nancy Grace and them people like that on there, they hate. He killed his wife? I know he did. Casey Anthony, I hate her guts. You know why? She got away with something. Now the truth is, I pray for Casey Anthony. I pray the Lord will help her. Do I think she's guilty? Yeah, I do. But she ain't getting away with nothing. God's going to deal with her one day. Ain't going to get you too. He's going to get you too. Don't forget it. He's going to get all of us. Tonight, we need 100% cooperation.